I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. Let us hear God as he speaks to our hearts and to our minds out of the gospel as recorded by St. Luke. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 11 and reading through verse 17. And it came to pass that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said, weep not. And he came and touched the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all the people, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this privilege of worship. We thank you for this moment of fellowship with you and with our brethren. We have come not in reluctance, but we have come with eagerness of heart, with eagerness of mind, to partake of the bounties of communion and to receive in some small measure a portion of the fruit of thy Spirit. Take those blessings which you give to us and magnify our lives through them. Strengthen where there is weakness. Bring humility where there is pride. Send unto us joy and gladness where sorrow abides. Look down upon us. Look down upon us, Heavenly Father, and be gracious unto us. Glorify thyself in these brief moments of worship, that we, thy children, may glorify you in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I want to thank my good friend, Brother Chase, for assisting me in this endeavor. And I also want to thank this wonderful choir, along with Mrs. Humble and Brother Johnson, for the rendering of the fine songs. I just glanced at my watch, and I noticed that it's about 10 minutes afterwards, and somebody commented to me, make sure we get out at least by 10:30. So it appears that we are ahead of our schedule. I promised my friends that I would be standing here for only about 15 minutes. So I'm going to take my time because it appears that we have at least 5 minutes to wait. God bless you for being present this morning. Is it true that a man's action speaks louder than words? Now, I have always heard that that is true, that that is the case. Therefore, we will proceed assuming that that is correct. I want you to think with me from a theme or from a subject this morning. Who are God's people today? Or you may put it another way. Who are God's people in the world today? I think that subject is very relevant in light of the fact that we have many denominations, we have many religions in the world, we have cults that are growing up around us every day, it seems. And on the other hand, we have quite a few people who are confused as to where God is actually at in the world, because we have many religions and many traditions that contradict each other. So I believe that as we look into our own minds and hearts, and as we talk to men about friends and colleagues, there is a piercing question on their minds. They seem to be asking the question, who are God's people today? Our text for this message comes from the 16th chapter, from the 7th chapter, the 16th verse of the gospel as recorded by St. Luke. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying that a prophet has arisen among us. God has visited his people. To give you some background as to what this thing is all about here, we see that this is a story told by Luke about Jesus. It seems that Jesus, as he had approached the gate to the city of Nain along with his disciples, there was a young man, it says, who had died and was being taken out of the gates of the city. And Jesus approached the scene, and he saw the mother who was weeping. The text tells us that this son was the only son that this mother had, that she was a widower, indicating that this was a profound loss because there was no one else she could rely on. As Jesus saw her weeping, he had compassion. And he reached out and he touched the funeral procession, and he decided to have it to stop. And he looked into the face of the weeping mother, and he said, in so many words, "Stop crying." And he said to the son, "The young man, get up." The young man got up and he began to speak. Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, we won't argue about whether that really took place or not. The real point that Luke is trying to make here is that Jesus has the power to give life. That in Jesus one can find life. But there is something else about this text that I like, and it is that based on the actions of Jesus, the crowd that had gathered around realized that Jesus was a man of God. They said, as Luke says, fear seized them all. And they glorified God, saying that a prophet has arisen among his people. God has visited his people. Now, all I've come to say this morning is that If we are to know who God's people are today in the world, we must measure their actions in light of the standards set by Jesus. Therefore, who are God's people today? God's people are those who do not confuse the customs and standards and traditions of their society with the Word of God. What we mean by custom, we mean something that has been practiced so long it has become an unwritten law. It is a habit. You've heard people in your church say, "We have always done it this way." Somebody else may say, "Well, we have always done it this way." Indicating that simply because it has always been done a particular way, that makes it right. Of course, another example, and I don't say this easily, is the one that we find for the most part in the South. You know, racism and white supremacy is a custom. It's been practiced for centuries. And I would imagine that if a black family came to worship in many of our white churches on Sunday mornings, it would create a crisis within the congregation. In many cases, the church would fall apart. This is a custom. And the sad thing about it is that sometimes we give more authority to our customs than we do to the Word of God. And we get confused. There is a story about Jesus as he sat with Matthew and tax collectors and sinners at a table. I would suppose that they were eating. And the Pharisees came along and asked the question to Jesus' disciples, "Why do your teacher eat with sinners?" And Jesus heard the question, and he responded in so many words as if to say, I will not allow your customs and your traditions to interfere with who I am. I have a particular mission in the world, and I must rise above the customs, especially if they are not compatible with the Word of God." So what Jesus is saying to all of us this morning, we must examine our customs, see if they are compatible with the Word of God, and if they're not, we have a mandate and a calling from God to rise above them. Who are God's people today in the world? God's people are those who shape the society and the community in which they live, rather than being shaped by the society and the community. When we use the word shape, we mean something that is to be molded, it is to be structured, designed. Whenever the object molds the subject, then the subject has lost its humanity. It has lost its uniqueness. It has become a thing. As we look around in our world today, and as we look inside of our churches, it seems as if the world has invaded the church, and in so many instances has taken it over. No wonder so many people stand on the outside and feel that there is really no use to me being a part of that. But in spite of how bad things get sometimes, there's still hope. In reading the Gospel of John, we find these words. John said that Jesus is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it yet. Jesus had an impact on the world. And I believe that if we are his disciples, he is calling us too to have an impact on our community, to have an impact on our society. We are to be the people of God. Who are God's people today? God's people are those who respond to the needs of others. You know, a lot of people think the word respond means simply to take notice, to be aware. But the word responds means to take action. It means to do something. Jesus entered the little small town. He saw the mother who had lost her only son. She had no one else to depend upon. And I would imagine that the Lord decided in his own heart that I must do something. The text tells us that he had compassion. You know, you can't be a child of God unless you have compassion in your heart. So many of us confine our compassion only to the area and the arena in which we have special interests. And we seem to write off everybody else who is outside of that arena. One thing about Jesus, he had compassion on us all. So if we are to be the people of God, we must use a measuring rod in order to measure who are God's people. We should measure them in light of the standards set by Jesus himself. Let us pray. Eternal God, we approach thee with our hearts humble, our heads bowed down. We thank thee for the many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. And we pray that thou wilt continue to bless us, that thou will allow us to grow in strength, that thou will give us courage to stand up in the face of opposition and to be thy people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.